Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brook. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brock, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and we are taking a little time out in our day to begin with some inspiration to talk about current events and to read the words of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann in his Organon of Medicine. Today is September 21, 2010, and you're listening to show number 97. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I see there are quite a bit of nice faces on the HWC live chat network. And if you are a healthcare worker, a professional, and a promoter of homeopathy, you can join Homeopathy World Community and be able to comment in this way on the blogs, on the discussions, and in the live chat. And if you are not, there is a call-in number. And I need to know if you are calling in first before you get approval to talk. Also, we will begin with the inspiration, and it comes from Facebook instead of Twitter today. A good friend who I originally met on Twitter, her name is Karen Fowler, quotes Mother Teresa, "Love begins at home, and it is not how much we do, but how much love we put in that action." And Karen Fowler also retweeted on, I'm going to call it a retweet, even though it's reposting on Facebook, maybe it's called sharing, Bernadette Gambetti, who says she posted a really neat story about autism's first child. And then she gave a link. So the other thing that you can do on Facebook and on Twitter is to share. And that really shows you how much you connect with other people and provide information and get the word out for whatever cause it is that you are involved with. So Autism's First Child is a story by John Donvan and Karen Zucker. And it was seen on the Autism Support Network. It says, "As new cases of autism have exploded in recent years, some form of the condition affects about 1 in 110 children today. Efforts have multiplied to understand and accommodate the condition in childhood, but children with autism will become adults with autism. Some 500,000 of them in this decade alone. What then?" And so here you have a story to meet Donald Gray Triplett, age 77, of Forest, Mississippi. He was the first person ever diagnosed with autism. And so I will give you the link on a blog to connect with this story. It's a long, happy, and surprising life that may hold some answers. Okay, and you can also see that perhaps on www.autismsupportnetwork.com. Another inspiration that Karen posted was by E.B. White. He says, "I awake each morning torn between a desire to save the world and a desire to savor the world. This makes it hard to plan my day." And that is quite true for myself and maybe for others. We want to be focused and get done what we had planned. And yet, as we move along in the day, there are many things that come up and take our interest and change our focus. And we learn about other things. It's sometimes I say it's great because we're taking a risk and we're moving into new areas and we're just expanding out, being spontaneous. And other times we're not able to accomplish what our set goal is for today. So maybe it's best to take care of the goals first and then play after. It's like go to school and then come home and put on your play clothes. Okay. My Twitter counter predicts for me that I'm going to have over 10,000 followers in about 14 days. Let's see what happens with that. We were doing Retrain Your Brain, and I forgot to give you the answer to the puzzle that was yesterday. The puzzle's name is The Greatest Area, and it says, a farmer challenges an engineer, a physicist, and a mathematician to fence off the largest amount of area using the least amount of fence. The engineer made his fence in a circle and said it was most efficient. The physicist made a long line and said that the line was infinite. Then he said that he would fence off half of the earth was the best. The mathematician laughed at the others, and with his design, he beat them both. And did you think of your answer? Well, here is the final answer. The mathematician made a small fence around himself and declared himself to be on the outside. That was it. Okay, and I wanted to move into some of the news on the network. And let's see, where I'm getting some kind of a signal that's telling me my computer is going into a danger zone. So, you know, there's always something that happens when I'm on the radio, and you have to kind of take it lightly, figure out what to do with it. So here we have a brand new post by Kaviraj, who tells us that there's scientific proof for homeopathy. And I thought I would read out of he gives us 10 instances that come from history. It's not something really new. We've always had this type of information, and we just need to get the word out. So here I'll read a couple of them. Number one, in 1902, P. Jouzet investigated the effects of silver nitrate up to 25 C, and that must be homeopathic potency, on mycelium. He found significant results in their weights, finding that the silver nitrate stunted growth. And this is reported by Gabriel Bertrand, the extraordinary sensitiveness of Aspergillus niger to manganese. And the next one posted in 1906, Borki and Tafel made an unusual observation of the emanations from a high dilute of radium bromide, 30 C, homeopathic potency, to photograph a picture of the outline of a key, and that was 1906. In 1928, Herman Junker, wrote the effect of extreme dilutions on microorganisms, and there is a reference to the archive Für die Gesamt Physiology, and the number four he has written in 1923, Lily Kolisko writes the physical and physiological demonstration of the effect of the smallest entities. So we just have titles and information, but we don't have really in detail what was going on with these proofs, and hopefully we will expound on that. And we will learn a little bit more about what kind of proof for the homeopathic potencies and succussions can affect living organisms. Okay. I wanted to also say a little something about a post from yesterday, and that was on the 12 observations of Kent. And I think we will go ahead and read a couple of them. The first observation is, a prolonged aggravation and final decline of the patient. What happens in this case? This indicates that the case was incurable and the remedy was given too deep and it has started destruction. And the treatment of incurable and doubtful cases should be started with a moderately low potency, usually 30C, serves the purpose. In the early stages of the same patients, when their condition is not so bad, the high potencies bring a sure improvement. They should be recognized by their characteristic aggravation, which is long. The aggravation lasts for many weeks, and then there is slow and sure improvement. Repetition of another dose should be after 3 months. Okay, so here Kent has a particular protocol in his first observation of the reactions of the individual to whether to a indicated remedy. In the particular case, the homeopath has to discern whether the situation is curable, whether they have, as Hahnemann has spoken most recently in our reading of Aphorism 77 and 76, what it is, whether a individual is in a hopeless situation from taking too many toxic material doses of things. Okay. And we're going to go ahead and do a little bit more on what's happening on the network. I think, did I tell you already that Gabrielle Trouth has posted probe the issues of homeopaths claiming who give the homeopathic remedies to all as alternatives and prophylaxis to vaccinations? Yes, I think I did. I did that yesterday. So we'll go ahead and do our reading. Want to review aphorism number 77 first, simply because we might have mentioned in the last show, have indicated that cancer was a miasm, but that is not the case in the readings of Hahnemann. In Hahnemann, we have the three miasms, the psora, psychosis, and syphilis, and that is what we are going to stick with. And it's the combination and the deterioration of the individual, how far along they are in those three miasms to indicate how we distinguish what to do for them in terms of homeopathic care. And the miasm helps us to understand what needs to be done in case taking. So here we will go on to the reading of aphorism number 78. The true natural chronic diseases are those that arise from a chronic miasm, which when left to themselves and unchecked by the employment of those remedies that are specific for them, always go on increasing and growing worse, notwithstanding the best mental and corporeal regimen, and torment the patient to the end of his life with ever aggravated sufferings. These, excepting those produced by medical malpractice, and he refers us to the footnote, are the most numerous and greatest scourges of the human race, for the most robust constitution, the best regulated mode of living, and the most vigorous energy of the vital force are insufficient for this eradication. So what is Hahnemann telling us here? That there is a natural chronic disease and they arise from a chronic miasm. So in the previous aphorisms, he was saying that the organism is helpless to annihilate the disease when there is a miasm without the help of a homeopathic care, homeopathic remedy, to just cancel that out, annihilate it, and help the individual's vital force strengthen to eliminate those symptoms. And he says that the disease, the chronic miasm, which is the long-term over a person's lifetime, continually grows stronger as the vital force grows weaker, and it continues to increase. And the person, you will often hear that a person is aggravated with sufferings. They say they are suffering through these pains, irritations, itchings, whatever it might be, depending on what the miasm is. And let's read to see if we have the, I will investigate to see if I have the footnote there. I don't think I do. Let's see. In the meantime, I also have the Riley, the O'Reilly edition for aphorism number 78 that we are reading now. And she says in the aphorism, in the footnote, in the most blooming years of youth and with the commencement of regular menstruation, coupled with beneficial lifestyle for spirit, heart, and body, these chronic diseases often remain indiscernible for several years. Those afflicted appear in the eyes of their relatives and acquaintances as if they were completely healthy and as if the disease implanted in them through infection or heredity were completely vanished. However, it inevitably comes to the fore again in later years and with adverse events and relationships in life. The more the life principle has been deranged through debilitating passions, grief, and worry, and especially through inexpedient medicinal treatment, the more rapidly the disease increases and the more onerous its character. So Hahnemann here is almost referring back to aphorism number 77 when he tells us that through the behavior, habits, temperaments of the individual, whether they're living in unhealthy areas or partaking of unhealthy foods or having too much excess stress or mental worry, they're not doing their exercise or getting open air, or if he was writing today, getting away from the computer or getting enough sleep, all of these kinds of things will make the or enable the miasm, the disease symptoms, to come to the foreground and to rise sooner than later, depending upon how you care for yourself. So you can kind of put it off a little bit with good lifestyle, with the beneficial lifestyle. However, it will return. It will come to the foreground in the later years based on, he's saying, adverse events, which might be accidents, when a loved one dies or you have a difficulty in a relationship, when there is something that, you remember yesterday we were saying, or 2 days ago, talking about pushing your buttons. So when you get your buttons pushed, things kind of move up into the conscious arena where you are very much aware of what is happening in your life. And let me see if I can find the footnote that is written from Hahnemann's words. And if anybody's listening and wants to comment, you may do that on the live chat or even into the call-in for the Blog Talk Radio HWC. And so I'm still looking up the footnote for aphorism number 78 is what we're reading. Okay, it says, among all imaginable methods for the relief of sickness, no greater allopathic, irrational, or inappropriate one can be thought of than this prosaic, debilitating treatment by means of venesection and hunger diet. Well, that's to number 74. That is a misreading. That goes to a different one. Okay, here it is. During the flourishing years of youth, and with the commencement of regular menstruation joined to a mode of life beneficial to soul, heart, and body, they remain unrecognized for years. Those afflicted appear in perfect health to their relatives and acquaintances, and the disease that was received by infection or inheritance seems to have wholly disappeared. But in later years, after adverse events and conditions of life, they are sure to appear anew and develop the more rapidly and assume a more serious character in proportion as the vital principle has become disturbed by debilitating passions, worry, and care, but especially when disordered by inappropriate medicinal treatment. So here he repeats again that antipathic, allopathic treatments can cause the miasmatic symptoms to appear either more quickly or rapidly or earlier in life. And that, in fact, even for a woman, having the change of life to menses will also initiate some kinds of symptoms. And this is fairly obvious when women begin to menstruate and have cramps and PMS, and mood changes and mood swings and all sorts of things like that. And supposedly homeopathic care can deal with these kinds of symptoms. And we shall go ahead and read aphorism number 79. Hitherto, syphilis alone has been to some extent known as such a chronic miasmatic disease, which when uncured ceases only with the termination of life. Psychosis, the condylomatous disease, equally ineradicable by the vital force without proper medicinal treatment, was not recognized as a chronic miasmatic disease of a peculiar character, which is nevertheless undoubtedly is, and physicians imagined they had cured it when they had destroyed the growths upon the skin. But the persisting dysgrasia occasioned by it escaped their observation. So here Hahnemann is saying what we see, what a physician might see as an outside growth is really coming from the internal, from the vital force, from something within, and it is the psychosis or psychotic miasm of growth, of excess growth. And here we see skin tags and moles, condylomata, these sorts of things that appear on the skin. And when we remove such things such as warts, it's not really changing the individual. The vital force is finding a way to express and to push out disease to the outside. And so when we remove it, it's very often they do return. And if they don't return, then they look for another means of expressing itself. And usually we think of it going deeper into the individual to a more vital organ tissue rather than just the skin, which is where we like to see the disease express itself the most, because then we can actually see it and use it as observation. And we know that with what we've been reading in Hahnemann's Organon, that we take symptoms based on our observations. And so if the body is giving us these observations in clear sight, then this is something that we must take into consideration. And let's see how much time we have. A few more minutes. So we will go ahead and read aphorism number 79. Oh, do we have a footnote on 78? That was for 70. Okay. Aphorism 79 did not have any footnotes, so we can move on to aphorism number 80. And that states, I will open it up to that. Incalculably greater and more important than the two chronic miasms just named, which were the, however, is the chronic miasm of Sora, which whilst those two reveal their specific internal dysgrazia, the one by the venereal canker, the one by the cauliflower-like growths, does also, after the completion of the internal infection of the whole organism, announced by a peculiar cutaneous eruption, sometimes consisting only of a few vesicles, accompanied by intolerable, voluptuous, tickling, itching, and a peculiar odor. The monstrous internal chronic miasm, the sora, the only real fundamental cause and producer of all the other numerous, I may say innumerable, forms of disease, which under the names of nervous debility, hysteria, hypochondriasis, mania, melancholia, imbecility, madness, epilepsy, and convulsions of all sorts, softening of the bones, rickettsiosis, scoliosis, and cephalosis, caries, cancer, fungus hematodes, neoplasms, gout, hemorrhoids, jaundice, cyanosis, dropsy, amenorrhea, hemorrhage from the stomach, nose, lungs, bladder, and womb, of asthma and ulceration of the lungs, of impotence and barrenness, of nigrum, deafness, cataract, amaurosis, urinary calculus, paralysis, defects of the senses, and pains of thousands of kinds, etc. Figure in systemic works on pathology as peculiar, independent diseases. And now we understand why when we read aphorism number 78, how the person is going to be tormented with greater and greater sufferings, as he said, that these are really destructive diseases, changes in the organ pathology, the tissues, and of course, creating dysfunctions of the ability of a person to metabolize their food, of their ability to get around in a normal lifestyle. And we have read aphorism up through aphorism 80 today. Tomorrow we will go ahead and read it again with the footnote. And our time is up. And I appreciate everyone again for listening and tuning in. If you have any comments, I will post it on the blog and look forward to reading your comments. Everyone take your Organon off the shelf and read it. Enjoy reading Hahnemann's Organon of Medicine and learning more about healing through using the Semilimum. Take care now.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.